Hi, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, bringing you a special series of recordings that I believe you will find encouraging to your life in Christ. I'm reading a book written in 1954 by Arch Campbell, missionary to Korea from 1916 until just after the Korean War, when the book came out in response to a request for testimonies of the Christ-filled faith of these precious Korean people during one of their national nightmares. The book is called The Christ of the Korean Heart, and today we read chapter 5. Im Han-sung faced the awesome row of Japanese police officials. His face was red and swollen from the continued slapping by his interrogators as they tried to browbeat him into submission. His eyes were bloodshot from the sleepless nights as the round of questionings continued, one group after another. His whole body ached, not merely from kicks and clubbings, but from the weary hours of standing before his questioners. "Why do you refuse to do obeisance to the great sun goddess, the one who lights heaven and earth with her brilliance?" shouted the chief in the center. The lump in his throat rose, and his voice refused to come. His lips tried to move, but only silence. A resounding blow, and a blinding flash of pain as the guard beside him shouted, "Answer the question!" Summoning all his strength, Im spoke hoarsely. "God's commandment says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. What God do you mean? Do you think that the insipid gods of the American barbarians are more powerful than the great Amaterasu O Mikami? She is the great ancestress of our august emperor, who is destined to rule the eight corners of the whole earth. I worship the Almighty God Himself, the creator and ruler of all things. He is not the God of Americans only, but of all the earth. He has commanded, thou shalt have no other gods before me." "Blasphemy!" shouted the chief, rising from his chair in his rage. "Take this man, lock him up. Keep him locked up until he comes to his senses and recognizes the true goddess of the great Japanese Empire." Well, there were stifling hot summer days when the sun beat down unmercifully as Pastor Im worked in the prison yard with the other prisoners. Their brick-red prison garb did not soften the scorching sun's rays. But it was the winter that was the hardest. The one coarse blanket could not keep out the cold, as the temperature dropped below zero each night. Only after hours of shivering on the cold, hard concrete floor would blessed sleep come. The weeks passed into months, the months into years. There were more routine questionings, slappings, and beatings, but Im stood his ground. At night in his cold, hard cell, he had sweet communion with his Lord. All the pain and suffering would melt away. The radiance of the Lord Jesus seemed to fill his cell. At times he could almost hear audibly the gentle voice, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And then suddenly, one day, that wonderful news, Japan had surrendered. It seemed so unbelievable. The prisoners had been lectured every week. Japan had been marching victoriously. The Philippines, Hong Kong, Malaya, Singapore, the East Indies, the islands of Alaska. Japan had even invaded America. Soon, peace would be dictated in the White House. Ah, no, but now, The Japanese were actually packing up and leaving. The prison doors swung open and Pastor Im walked out. Freedom! Liberty! How wonderful! How glorious! How sweet it was! He went back to his church in Kwaksan in North Korea. Each Sunday the church was crowded. Everybody wanted to be Christians. The Japanese, who had opposed Christianity, had been defeated. A popular wave was sweeping the land. What a glorious prospect seemed to be ahead. But very soon, the Russian army arrived, and in its wake, a great company of Koreans who had been living in Siberia and Manchuria, brought up as communists and trained for the job of setting up a Soviet regime. They came with wonderful promises of a people's utopia. It was not long before Pastor Im found that he could not go along with them. One demand came after another, and each demand was more difficult than the last. He must join a communist-controlled organization. He must preach communism. He must denounce America. He must praise Stalin, the atheist. His Sunday school children were taken from him. The many new adherents were intimidated and began dropping away. And then one day, Im found himself again in prison. This time it was communist. Once more the exhausting and painful questionings and harangues. Once more the slappings, the beatings, the cold concrete floor. Once more he stood his ground. Again the weeks passed into months and the months into years. Again the sweltering heat of summer and the cruel cold of the North Korean winter. But once more also came sudden freedom. One day the guards disappeared. The gates were forced open. The prisoners streamed forth. The Americans were coming. Pastor Im joined the others in their faded brick-red prison garb as they went out, and he started for his home. His beard had grown. He was unkempt and ragged. He looked like a pretty desperate individual. Suddenly, an American jeep overtook him on the road. An MP jumped out, gently took him into custody. There had been too many North Korean soldiers disguised as refugees, infiltrating, sniping, transporting ammunition, giving information. All suspicious characters were to be picked up. So again, Pastor Im found himself in prison. This time it was an American prisoner of war camp, but he wasn't discouraged. Prisoner of the Japanese, prisoner of the communists, prisoner of the Americans, but no, he was a prisoner of the Lord. Years ago he had put his life into the Lord's hands. He knew he could still trust him. He knew that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he loved God. He knew that God had put him in this POW camp for a purpose. He gathered together the Christian boys who had been forced into the communist North Korean army. He got permission from the American guards to organize a church. He was given permission to have services on Sundays. And then he told these Christian boys, God has put you here for a purpose. You know that these other fellows haven't heard the gospel. You know that for 10 years we haven't been allowed to preach to the non-Christians. First the Japanese, during the war, abolished all Sunday schools and all evangelistic services. And then the communists did the same thing. You're here to tell these other boys about Jesus. The Americans won't stop you, so get busy. The church, behind the barbed wire, grew. The work spread. Groups began in other compounds. Early morning prayer meetings were begun. Bible institutes were organized. The mass movement that had started in North Korea at the end of the Japanese War and had been stifled when America so unwittingly agreed to the 38th parallel and invited the Russians to come into the north to receive, quote, the surrender of the Japanese army, it all came to life again when, in the prisoner of war camps, these boys had seen enough of anti-Christian Japanese action and had been fed up with the atheistic propaganda of the communists. By scores and by hundreds, hands were raised as the invitation was given to accept Christ. When Harold Vokal and Bruce Cumin, American missionaries, entered the POW camps as DAC chaplains under the United Nations, they found the Christian movement well underway. 12 Bible institutes were already organized and operating, manned by prisoners of war. Where had such a thing ever happened before? A war correspondent from an American magazine who had visited the POW camp stopped in my home one day. He kept shaking his head. I still can't believe it, he exclaimed. He'd been taken out early in the morning in the darkness before dawn, and had seen 9,000 prisoners of war on their knees in a voluntary prayer meeting. There the war's being won, the real war, the war between freedom and slavery, the war between God and atheism, the war between Christ and Stalin, he said. One day a general from the Pentagon came to inspect the camps. As he rode in his jeep past one compound, he suddenly heard a strange sound. Wigihase, wigihase, kod wigihase, kuhagene, kuhagene, kod kuhasene. Thousands of voices. He stopped the jeep and listened. Why, oh, that sounds like a Christian hymn, he exclaimed. Sure enough, the familiar tune, only trust him. Only trust him. He will save you. He will save you now. He listened until the hymn was finished and then turned to the other generals and colonels. Boy, you just can't beat that for propaganda. In June 1953, when President Syngman Rhee opened the barbed wire gates and freed 27,000 prisoners, it was an answer to prayer. In the anti-communist compounds, days of prayer and fasting had actually been held. These new Christian boys would never go back to godless communism. They poured out their hearts to God to deliver them by some miracle from going back to red power, and it came. God used his servant, President Rhee, a man of faith and prayer, a man who could not be intimidated by Japanese or communists or even Americans. He knew he was right. These boys were his people. He'd given his life for their freedom. Here was the God-given hour. Pastor Im came forth with the others. Well, he's now serving a congregation, that is now in 1954, in North Chulla Province in South Korea. The boys he won to Christ in the prison, now scattered through the country, have joined the churches. Some are Sunday school teachers. Some have started new Christian groups among North Korean refugees. Some are studying in Bible institutes. Others have enlisted in the Army of the Republic of Korea. This is not the Army of South Korea, but of all free Korea. There they are the faithful helpers of the Korean chaplains. Hundreds of them, more than the number of pastors killed by the Reds in the North, have entered or are preparing to enter the theological seminary to become pastors just like their beloved Im. Pastor Im is satisfied with his modest congregation. He's in the place where God has now put him. He's free. Well, but he always was free, really free. He knew one could be free even within concrete walls and barbed wire entanglements. Did I say free? Well, yet no. He's still a prisoner. a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. With Paul, he can say, I'm a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the song says, just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is the end of chapter 5. If you'd like a fuller introduction to the book, especially if you just began with part 5 here, go to my home page right here at Sermon Audio. There's a blog toward the top of the page with the same name as the book. If you'll click on the blog, you'll get a little more detail about the author and about the contents of the book. Of course, be sure to look through the sermons on Sermon Audio to find chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, which have already been recorded. You may have missed them. As we pray constantly for North Korea on this site, it's profitable, I think, to see the good things that are coming soon for this entire peninsula. When the world sees and the church sees Christ given his rightful place in the Korean heart, what a joyful and wonderful day that will be. Please pray with me constantly that God will have his way in North Korea, South Korea, your life, my life. God bless you.